The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
My name is Tom Healy. I'm 70 years old, retired federal law enforcement from Texas. When I became a Christian, I, like most Christians, was dropped into the details of the Bible, and I was confused. About 7 years ago, I tuned in about show. He caught my interest, so I tuned in again and again. This guy made sense, and he was espousing wisdom that I knew in my heart was right, and it agreed with Scripture many times to my surprise. Bob had authored a Bible study called The Plot, an overview of the Bible, which was mentioned quite often on the show. Clergy would call and say, I've been a minister for 20 years, and after reading The Plot, I now understand the Bible. This got my attention as I had read the Bible until I was cross-eyed. After the third clergyman called, I ordered The Plot. Hey, it had a money-back guarantee. When I finished reading it, I wanted to dance on my kitchen table. Hallelujah, God's word is now clear. To order, call 1-800-8-ENYART. That's E-N-Y-A-R-T. Or 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go online at kgov.com. That's kgov.com. Thank you very much.
And greetings to the most bright and sophisticated audience in America. Greg Jackson sitting in for Bob Enyart. Day number two at Bob Enyart Live. KGOV.com. The phone number 800-836-9278 is the number. And if you were with us yesterday, you heard my interview with Joe Glover, who's president of the Family Policy Network. You can find his website at familypolicy.net. And it was an interesting conversation that we had with Joe because, Joe is probably one of the most experienced veterans in the quote-unquote pro-family movement in America today. He's rubbed shoulders with a lot of the who's who, James Dobsons and Tom Minnery's and leaders, Tony Perkins and other leaders of a lot of these pro-family and pro-life groups around America. We were speaking quite candidly yesterday about much of the compromise and many of the failings, quite frankly, the current state of the conservative slash Christian right movement in America and kind of why it failed. And some of the things that we talked about yesterday and that Joe noted was that, some of the major reasons for its failure due to the fact that a lot of these organizations have distanced themselves from God's word, not standing on God's word, and instead of thinking biblically, they have been acting secularly and I'm separating the two, which we as Christians were just not called to do. So therefore, we shouldn't really be surprised when somebody like James Dobson said quite recently that basically we've lost every major moral and social battle of our times, from abortion to homosexuality, that we shouldn't be surprised because essentially when you compromise God's truth, you end up electing compromised politicians to represent you, and then you have compromised legislation, and before you know it, you're drenched in sin. So that's where we are essentially in America today, and I want to welcome back Joe Glover, the president of the Family Policy Network, back to Bob Enyart Live. Joe, welcome back.
Greg, thanks for having me back.
Well, I appreciate it, Joe, and that was inspiring for those of you who heard my interview with Joe Glover. By the way, you can hear part one. Go to kgov.com, look in the archives section. and check out part one if you weren't fortunate enough to hear my interview with Joe, because it was truly, truly inspiring, and you're going to want to download it, and you're going to want to share it with your friends. And we're going to pick it up where we left off, Joe. At the end of our conversation, Joe, we were talking about Focus on the Family, because they are located here in Colorado. They're one of the pro family groups, probably the largest in America. And we were talking about some of the compromised, and you used the term that they were moving to the left. And I surmise that that was, from what I understand, one of the major reasons the new direction at Focus that they've chosen to pursue was one of the reasons that Dobson was basically asked to resign his position and leave. That's one of the major reasons that he was replaced by this guy, Jim Daly, who recently announced, as probably many of our listeners know if they listen to Bob Enyart Live, that they are actively pursuing Focus on the Family, cultivating relationships with pro-abortion groups across America, including Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, to work with them to figure out ways to reduce the number of abortions, as if a for-profit company like Planned Parenthood has a vested interest in decreasing the amount of money that they're making. But nevertheless, that's the new strategy. Instead of working to end all abortions and to back personhood legislation like Amendment 62 that we just voted on here in November in Colorado and other personhood legislation and amendments to constitutions around the country, Focus on the Family has decided that they're going to work with pro-abortion groups to regulate when, where, and how murdering of children will take place in America. So that's where we're at. And so I want to ask you, Joe, what are the major reasons that you believe has led to this shift, to this massive compromise and shift to the left of organizations? And I don't want to pick on just Focus on the Family. We can look across the spectrum, and we're going to talk about some of these examples from some of the leading pro-family groups in America. But where is this coming from, in your opinion, Joe?
Well, there's no question. There are a couple things involved. First, I would say is a desire to be significant in the eyes of men is an obvious one. Another is money. There's certainly more money available to groups that are willing to compromise principles. And we spoke yesterday about how the machinery that's available to organizations for fundraising purposes tends toward more of a mainstream establishment Republican type of message. And that tends to draw members of boards of directors and staff members toward those types of statements in the public square, but also a sense of pragmatism where, and I've heard this in meetings with legislative officials that are supposedly very conservative on social issues like abortion and homosexuality, and they'll say things like, well, we realize this form of this legislation would do absolutely nothing, but it would be a meaningful piece of legislation I could trump to my supporters back home to say that, you know, we're with you on these family type issues. So, you know, obviously none of these are concerns that have any merit in heaven. There's not going to be a Republican chairman waiting for us in heaven to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's not going to be the guy that counts the money. The Cajun company is not going to be there in heaven waiting for us to pat us on the head and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's someone else.
So when we get there, I won't be able to say, hey, I gave a lot of money to a Family Research Council, and do I get to sit at the head table with Tony Perkins? I won't be able to say that.
Where's my gold-plated pen? Right. No, that's not going to happen. And the problem is, you know, in this world, it's a fallen world. We're sinful creatures. And this side of eternity, even us as Christians, we have difficulty sometimes determining, you know, what's pulling us in one way or the other.
Amen.
And the fact of the matter is that the one thing that can clear that up is the Word of God itself. And so cling to Jesus, cling to the cross.
Amen.
And regardless of who you are, whether you are an individual voter in Colorado, or if you are a United States senator, even the president of the United States in Washington, D.C., don't just cling to Jesus, but cling to a group of people who can put a bony finger in your chest and say, hey, buddy, have you forgotten what the scripture says right here? And Greg, you and I were talking about this just the other day, about holding each other accountable on such things.
That's
It's really easy to be distracted. And so to some degree, I shudder to call out others for this error, because we are all prone to such error.
Amen.
But point it out, we must. So unfortunately, it's true. And Focus on the Family is not only moving to the left on the life issue, but they're moving to the left on the personal morality issue. I don't know if you know, sure you do, that about a year ago, well, more than a year ago now, they made public statements about how they would have no problem whatsoever if they had a Supreme Court nominee who had gay tendencies. As a matter of fact, they said that sexual orientation for a pick for the United States Supreme Court should never come up. Their sexual orientation should never come up. Focus on the Family was even cited as saying that it wouldn't even be pertinent to the equation. The only thing they said that would be pertinent would be whether they are a good judge or not. Well, how in the world, when you give a clear reading to Leviticus 18 and Romans chapter 1, and what God says about the sexual immorality known as same-sex sodomy, how in the world can you read those passages and not think that it has everything to do with whether or not they are a good judge? But Focus on the Family has clearly ceded biblical principle and exchanged it for some sort of pragmatism that will allow them to be appreciated by men who lean toward good behavior. But clearly they're not seeking to be congratulated at the door of heaven for being a good and faithful servant to the Word of God.
Yeah, seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Amen.
Correct? So that
Absolutely.
All other things would be added into us. Oh, that they would realize that. And you're exactly right, Joe, that, you know, we're just as prone to being, I was caught up in it, you know, when I was selected to introduce the presidential candidates at CPAC 2 years in a row, and Salem Radio trying to woo me to be the next Sean Hannity and join the team. And they reminded me that there are certain rules, certain things that were verboten to speak about. And I said, I won't water down the truth. But I did realize, you know, during that time that, boy, those tendencies are certainly things that we can easily get caught up in. So I agree with you that we have to be very, very careful in criticizing some of these people, whether it be Jim Daly or Tony Perkins or Jay Sekulow or others who are severely compromised and who are spreading misinformation and disinformation, trying to attain a seat at the proverbial table, the political table, because we ourselves can so easily get caught up in it.
And I know you know that while Mitt Romney was still governor, he called a meeting with a number of prominent social conservatives across the country.
Yes.
In Boston, and he had them come to his office. My understanding was it was in the governor's office, but it may have been an office in his house. Regardless, as you know, every person there sat in a beautiful chair that was then delivered to their homes across the country a few days after the meeting.
By the way, I sat in one of those chairs in Wendy Wright's office in Washington, D.C., with Matt Barber and Wendy Wright. I spoke to them for about close to 2 hours in her office, and at the end of the meeting, you know what she said to me? Because we were talking about Romney and the terrible, toxic sewage that he dumped in Massachusetts, from gay marriage to $50 copay abortions, and she laughed. And she said, look at the back of that chair. It's like a wingback kind of collegiate-type chair, if I remember correctly. And I looked at the back of the chair, and it was a gift to Wendy Wright from Governor Mitt Romney. And I said to her, joking, I said, well, I better go back to the hotel and take a shower right now.
If I would have attended that meeting and gotten that chair, I would have made a video of chopping it up in the backyard and burning it in the fireplace, just so that the governor would understand that it meant absolutely nothing to me whatsoever. Because this is it. This idea that Mitt Romney was pitching to these folks of what a historic meeting that it was that they were in, that would change the direction of the nation, and then to send them a token of that meeting in order to say, you know, you'll be able to tell your children for generations that you were there when this change in the nation was first decided upon among these important folks who were invited to the governor's office here in Massachusetts. I mean, what a perfectly human way to appeal to human desires to be liked and to be significant, and to be seen in the eyes of men as having done something really great. And it has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with what God would call us to do. I've heard it said often that if God called us to be a ditch digger, we'd have to step down to be president of the United States. And it's true. If God calls you to be a gadfly who reminds politicians of thus saith the Lord and to never rise to some level of so-called significance in politics, then that's where you serve. And that's what you do. And that's what a number of us are relegated to, due in part to the fact that many of our Christian friends and so-called Christian leaders are willing to cede ground on the truth and marginalize those of us who would tell the truth about what really goes on in the halls of power.
Have you been marginalized?
Oh, yeah.
Give us some examples. No, Joe, I think this is important because to illustrate with some examples, you're a guy, I mean, look, you went to Liberty University, right? You went to Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. You've been involved in the pro-family movement for many, many years. You've rubbed shoulders with the high and mighty and, you know, many of the most prominent people in the pro-family, pro-life movement in America. And yet you have not compromised the truth. You have boldly broadcast that truth far and wide to the best of your ability in the flesh. Give our listeners some examples of how you have been ostracized or demonized or marginalized.
Well, and like you said a minute ago, we've all compromised. And again, I shudder to call anyone out, given the fact that I, too, have feet of clay.
Amen.
You gave examples for yourself. I won't give any for myself.
I voted for George Bush twice because I drank the Kool-Aid, and I thought lesser of the two evils was biblical. And, you know, there are many times that we can compromise every day, not just politically or who we vote for, but just in every aspect of our lives, whether it be spending too much time at work and not spending enough time with our children or our wives, for that matter.
Sure.
I mean, there are just many ways. So I'm with you. I'm far from perfect. But I do feel the obligation to warn Christians, to sound the trumpet, and to say, hey, folks, what we've been doing for the past 30 years of following these blind leaders, these false shepherds, we have to turn back to God, stand on His word, and try something new. The old way isn't working.
Well, Ephesians 5:11 makes it clear we're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness.
That's right.
But rather reprove them or expose them. What's interesting is that Ephesians 5:11 says the unfruitful works of darkness. Well, the pro-family movement has been unfruitful. Paul Weyrich from Free Congress Foundation told us, and James Dobson from Focus on the Family has told us. It's been unfruitful, and I would argue, and you would too, Greg, that
we agree
that it's been unfruitful because it has sought to move from light to darkness, from a position of understanding biblical righteousness to a place of human pragmatism in order to try to accomplish something meaningful and significant, and it can't be done, and that's something that should be exposed.
And not only has it been unfruitful, Joe, but couldn't you argue that it's actually been more destructive, these compromised positions and pragmatic strategies of a lot of these double-minded groups, you know, if I can use that term, hasn't it even been more destructive in a certain sense than anything that the left could ever do on their own?
Well, certainly. Our primary concern, as Scripture dictates, is what impact does this have on God's children? And, you know, the fact is, the primary concern, the preeminent mindset of every believer should be the idea that God's bride would be protected and that God's bride would be sanctified and that God's bride would be challenged to strive toward righteousness. And meanwhile, I'll give you this example. Rick Scarborough, who is the president of Vision America, he was Tom DeLay's pastor for a number of years in Texas, and he runs a conference call every week called Stop Obama. But his organization, Vision America, hosted a conference call. It was in August of 2010, wherein one of the topics on his conference call with these Christian leaders from across the country, pastors and ministry leaders, was how to get values voters to the polls. And Dr. Scarborough actually had Senator David Vitter of Louisiana on his program.
I remember that.
Talk about how to bring values voters to the polls. Now, for some of your listeners who may not remember this, there was a court case that went on in Washington, D.C. about the D.C. Madam prostitution ring, wherein David Vitter was named as one of the participants. He was a client, a customer of this prostitution ring, and he actually had a diaper fetish. And it was extremely shameful, immoral thing that he participated in. He did offer a public apology. But frankly, public apology, when he was caught, yeah, it's not something that really puts the Christian right in a good light when the ministry leaders who are trying to, you know, bring conservative Christian ministers from around the country into a meaningful dialogue in the public square are using people who have been caught up in prostitution rings in Washington, D.C., to make their best arguments for how to manipulate Christians to get to the polls. It's really unimaginable the degree to which people are willing to set aside principles and come up with pragmatic reasons why, well, you got to understand how things work, or, well, gee, you know, I think it's all right, people will forgive him, that type of thing. And, you know, forgiveness, sure. In fact, I spoke directly with Dr. Scarborough about this and I asked him, please don't do this. You don't want Christian leaders on your conference call to be citing David Vitter as some sort of a
moral authority.
You know, moral authority to their, maybe to the people on their newsletter list, or maybe in a public statement somewhere on the radio to talk about David Vitter and to make them prime targets for their enemies to call their integrity into question. When David Vitter was one of those that called for Bill Clinton to resign for his immorality, and here David Vitter is involved in his own. Forgiveness, sure. Restoration, sure. But a place of preeminence in the pro-family movement, absolutely not.
And there's another example, too, that I know that you've been following recently with George Allen, former governor of Virginia. Is he running for Senate now?
Yeah, I understand he is going to seek re-election. He was knocked out a few years back, and he's going to run to get his old seat back. He actually stated on the record that if his own daughter, if it appeared that an abortion was in the best interest of his own daughter, he would support that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I've heard a number of people refer to him as pro-life. But the most disconcerting is the Virginia Family Foundation, which is one of Focus on the Family's state affiliates. And by all means, they are often one of the strongest groups on public policy in Virginia on issues of importance to Christian conservatives. But they have been taking George Allen around the Commonwealth of Virginia, allowing him to speak at their state dinners even this year in advance of him working toward a reelection bid. Although they would not mention that he was going to run again for Senate, they're helping to prop him up. And this is a guy that, after promising pro-family activists in 2000 that he would not support hate crimes legislation for homosexuals, he did vote for hate crimes legislation for homosexuals. And the homosexual activists in Washington, D.C., called George Allen's office the gayest place on Capitol Hill. He had open homosexuals working as his chief of staff, as his chief spokesman, as his chief counsel, and literally the homosexual activist Mike Rogers, who runs Blog Active, they out a lot of gay Republicans. They actually said that there were more homosexuals in George Allen's office than in any other place on Capitol Hill. And so here's a Christian conservative group, another Focus on the Family group, helping to prop up an elected official who doesn't believe in the right to life, even for his own grandchildren, and who, you know, willingly supported the gay agenda, hired a number of homosexuals to work on his staff, and as Morton Blackwell likes to say, personnel is policy. If you hire liberal people, you're going to have liberal policies, and that he did. So, yeah, it's another example of where Christians are propping up ungodly leaders in the public square. And for what? To help them with their fundraising so that they can seem more significant to people? It's certainly, whatever the reason, it's not the kind of thing that's going to earn you the statement, well done, thou good and faithful servant, upon entering into the kingdom of heaven.
Joe Glover is with us. We got a few minutes left. He's the president of the Family Policy Network. Get to his website at familypolicy.net. Joe, we got a couple minutes left. I want to talk about the bright light. I want to talk about the argument for optimism. With all of the stuff that we're sharing with the audience today, I know that you have hope and optimism for the future. For those people that might be in the audience saying, well, what's a guy to do? I mean, in the last election, you know, you have McCain and Obama. So you have a Marxist versus a Marxist light. You know, how is a person supposed to vote? And maybe are we spending too much time even thinking about the political realm we as Christians, should our focus be on something entirely different? Sum it up, if you will, Joe, and share with our audience what you see as the ultimate solution for all that has gone wrong with the compromise and the corruption and the downward moral decline in America.
Well, we don't need a king. We need a savior. And God is our king. He's on the throne in heaven. He's sovereign over all of creation. And if we really believe that, then we should let not our hearts be troubled. God is going to take care of his own. There's no question. I mean, it's just like when we're talking about environmentalism. Ultimately, it is God who sustains his creation with his right hand. When it comes to politics, it is God who protects the remnant, even in places like Sodom and Gomorrah. God takes care of his own. And so we don't need to let our hearts be troubled, but neither do we need to abandon the public square. I forget who it was that said it, but they said, if you find politics to be a cesspool and then abandon it because it is a cesspool, then that is immoral. And that's true. I think that we should mount up and ride to the sound of the guns. Wherever matters of morality and truth are being discussed and debated, I think Christians should go straight to those places, wherever they may be. If it's in the corporate world, in the political world, in the social arena, wherever it is, we should invade those areas of life with the gospel, with biblical morality. And when we do it, we should not try to turn a biblical argument into a pragmatic, empirical argument, but rather, thus saith the Lord should be the first words out of our mouth, at least figuratively speaking. We should actually quote the Bible. And I see
what a novel concept.
Change taking place. And you and I talked about this recently, where just 20 years ago, if you look at just the Southern Baptist Convention itself, the Southern Baptist Convention had six seminaries in the U.S. that were educating over half of all the full-time equivalents in Protestant seminaries anywhere in the world. And not one of those seminaries was led by presidents who believed the Bible to be literally true. And now that's changed. You're going to see that kind of thing taking hold in a lot of different places in Christendom over the next few years.
May it be so. May it be so. Joe Glover, president of the Family Reese Policy Network, familypolicy.net is the website. Joe, God bless you, and thanks for being my guest on the Bob Benyart Live Show.
God bless you, Joe.
As a homeschooling mother of five, I'm so tired of the network's liberal slant, even in the fair and balanced news, that I really enjoy listening to Bob Benyart present current events from a biblical perspective. For example, Daniel obeyed God, even as a government official. So what should we and our Christian leaders learn from that? Please support Bob Benyart Live, spread the word, and consider ordering Bob's great Bible materials, available online at kgov.com, where you can also listen to his program, like I do, at the most convenient time for you. That's at kgov.com. Enjoy!
Hey, science fans! Now you can have all of the Real Science Friday shows on MP3 CD from 2007, 2008, or 2009. Hear Bob and Fred present the compelling scientific evidence that the Earth is young and that there is a Creator. Real Science Friday 2007, 2008, and 2009 are each available by calling 1-800-8-NYART. Or you can get the MP3 CDs or the MP3 downloads at kgovstore.com.